B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Don't forget Eric Carabel coming our way on Thursday. This is normally, by the way, a day for Hembo as well, but Hembo's getting married.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. This is marriage week. He's getting married Saturday, so and he's going to be his honeymoon, so we'll be without him for a couple weeks.
Well, congrats to Hembo.
Marriage getting in the way of him delivering stats.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Pretty game.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Because I was wondering, because you guys are tight. I was wondering, where's Hembo?
He wanted to do Wednesday, because, and I get that, Wednesday's too early. So Thursday's a day of prep. You know, he's got family. He's got
rehearsal dinner,
there's
probably.
Rehearsal dinners and all that stuff. I remember his bachelor party.
Congratulations to Hembo.
Yeah, congratulations. Yes. We'll have him back with week four, I guess.
Yes.
He's out 2 and 3.
That
back for week four. That's all right.
All right, so Eric Carabel at 3:30. So get your questions into Mike Miss at 975thefanatic.com. Email or Twitter, Mike Miss 975 on Twitter. But make it closer to 3:30 so your question doesn't get lost in the shuffle. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corbelli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, Tyrone, we'll get back to the phones in a second, but I know that you're not happy with Kobe Bryant right now.
No.
And you sent me this yesterday, actually. So explain to the people, this hasn't gotten a lot of traction.
It has.
Today, because people are burying him, is that what the deal is?
Well, it went viral. Because there's people who agree, basically, he's showing his daughter, and I guess it was an older picture. His daughter's team with fourth place trophies, and all the girls are unhappy. And he's talking about how these six girls worked really hard.
I'll read it. Here's what he's put out there. Here's our fourth place winner's picture, LOL. Six of the kids in the picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The seventh player, in parentheses, not in pick, missed this game for a dance recital. So that should tell you where her focus was at this time. From the original seven, we have added a player 2 years younger in sixth grade, a player whose team in our area folded, and a player whose family moved here from Tennessee. The beauty of coaching is growing the players from ground up. That journey continues. Hashtag Mambas. So he ripped a seventh grader for missing the game for a dance recital. And you're ripping Kobe.
Yes, and here's why. I think that it's good to coach girls hard.
Mm-hmm.
Same with boys, and I think that a lot of sports, because none of these kids are going pro. When I say nobody, I mean less than 1%, but it teaches a lot of important life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
But when this is a child, when that child signed up for basketball, her parents also were aware that she also had signed up for dance.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if she goes to the basketball game, the dance recital people are upset. If she goes to the dance, Kobe's upset. She's a child. Let her choose what she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whatever is more important to the kid is what counts here.
Right.
Kobe can't out her. Now, Kobe might not be happy with it as a competitor that she chose dance over basketball, but that's very childish, and it's a weak move to rip the person. He doesn't rip her by name. But
he doesn't rip her by name, but here's the thing. The people who, in her neighborhood, because everybody knows Kobe Bryant's the coach. Oh, Kobe Bryant's the coach.
Yeah.
When he posts that, and she's the one not in the picture, her peer group knows that Kobe's talking about her.
Yeah.
The parents know, and to me, that's wrong. If she just blew off the game, you still shouldn't do it publicly. But she was doing another activity that she committed to.
Yes.
She had to choose.
Now,
and she might be, she
might
dance,
be a better dancer.
I was
going to
say, dance
player.
Might right, be actually on. Her thing.
But hold on a second. The whole thing that makes this talkable is because she's a seventh grader. Has she been a senior in high school and they're playing for the league championship and she chose to go to a dance recital? Is she not at fault?
Now,
different.
High school,
because she has now committed to a higher stakes of a team.
Yes.
Right,
and she's letting down the team.
She is, but what about in that scenario if she's possibly going to Juilliard as a dancer?
Well, then that's different.
That's so I would need at that point to know the level of dancer. But yes, that would be different. Kobe still shouldn't do it for a person. To
not
me,
a seventh grader.
Or even a high school person publicly, because she's not getting paid. To me, you don't. He can do it behind the scenes. Yes. I'm saying
so. Is he getting broiled on social media?
Yeah,
yeah, he's getting killed,
destroyed.
And okay, does he have any kind of a statement?
Yeah, he posted a video of him dancing.
Well, he didn't apologize.
He said, basically, he's saying, I stopped basketball for 2 weeks because I wanted to do this dance.
So he made more fun of it?
No, he posted a video of himself dancing. What? Like when he was a kid, like an old video. Oh. And he talked about how he stopped for 2 weeks, mind you, stopped playing basketball for 2 weeks because I really need to be this assembly. I'm all for kids, but he doesn't get it. That's why that Mamba mentality is a little bit psychopathic.
Well, so, and then he did have a statement.
He did.
He said, sorry if it came across as a slight. Trust me, it wasn't. I was just given the reason for her not being in the pick. They chose to not spy.
Kobe owned it. Of course it was a slight.
Then he goes, doing a dance to miss the game isn't a bad thing. That's not what I was saying. I was just giving context as to why she wasn't in the picture. All my girls played different sports. It's all good. For the record, I followed their lead on not smiling. They hated those trophies.
Come on. You made it worse for yourself now. All right, let's go. Robert in South Carolina. Robert, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robert!
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Robert?
First of all, good Monday and Tuesday, man. That's just one. I'm going to leave that alone as it was, but great 2 days of listening to the back and forth on that conversation.
Thank you.
But next, I will say, I need you to tell me I was right. So I called you the day Bryce Harper got signed to your team, and I told you that he would not make up the difference in games one to win a division, and you simply told me, all right, Robert, just wait till the end.
Let me stop you right here. It doesn't really matter that it didn't end up that they went to the playoffs. They made their team better. That's the only thing I need to know. They got the best guy possible for their team, and they signed him. Why is that wrong?
It's not wrong, but it's wrong because they didn't make the team better.
Did they make the outfield better? Are they a better team with or without Bryce Harper? They would have had Nick Williams playing right field.
Where'd they finish last year?
Robert, answer me this simple fundamental question. Nick Williams would have been the right fielder. Are they better off with Bryce Harper or Nick Williams?
They're better off with Bryce.
Oh, well, what's your point?
But Bryce wasn't a player.
But he's still a better player, and he's going to produce for years to come. He's going to give him 35 home runs and 120 RBIs almost every year.
All right, that's one player.
Come on, man, that's stupid. That call's ridiculous. Billy in Allentown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Billy.
All right, well, I think obviously Bryce makes the team better. There's no disputing that. They have a great team on that side of the ball, and, you know, the hitters get hot and cold. It's just baseball. The problem is Gabe Kapler, without a doubt. I mean, in my opinion, the guy has no kind of instinct, baseball instinct, and the moves he makes and the substitutions. I realize he doesn't have pitching to work with, but on that side of the ball, him making the best out of his situations, he's made move after move that make me even question if he even played baseball as a kid or as an adult. I know he did, of course, but I mean, they're just dumb moves. I can't think of any conceptual reason that he would do that. And I have one more comment, and I'll let you talk.
Well, first of all, the problem is much more than Gabe Kapler, but Gabe Kapler is what you can change very easily right now.
Right. I mean, I think he's a big component, as that was what I should say.
Okay.
And my other thing I want to tell you, and I know it's going to be unpopular, but I think Kobe Bryant's right in a way. And just, I think with the way kids have such a sense of entitlement anymore and they have no accountability, I think having someone who is one of the best to ever play the game coach you and tell these, you know, motivate these kids and show them, hey, this is what I have to do.
Come on, man. Seriously? I can't believe that. Billy, hold on a second. What about accountability to yourself? If you like dance better, why shouldn't a seventh grader go to the dance recital? What, are you kidding me with this?
I think it's a one or the other kind of thing.
Obviously, she feels more comfortable at the dance recital. She must like it better. She's entitled to that. That's accountability for herself. She's in seventh grade.
Kids get to try a lot of different things when they're young, when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. Seventh grade, I think you start developing.
Billy, come on. Seriously.
Hey, I'm sorry, we disagree.
Well, because it's idiotic what you're saying. The girl's in seventh grade. She doesn't need to have accountability to a basketball team just because Kobe Bryant's the coach.
I think it all starts at a younger age.
Well, then what about the accountability to the dance teacher and a dance recital? What, that doesn't apply?
Pick one.
Well, she picked one. She picked Dance. You're saying she's wrong for it because, God forbid, she lets down Kobe. Well, what about a dance recital teacher who's making $1.380 teaching these kids how to dance?
Exactly. You got Kobe Bryant coaching you. It's not like Gabe Kapler's coaching your baseball team.
Billy, I'm really close to calling you an idiot. I really am. I didn't do it, but I was really close to calling him an idiot.
And here's the assumption he just made, too.
Man.
He's making an assumption. This girl might be a girl of means if Kobe is her basketball.
Uh-huh.
How do we know that that's not a renowned dancer? That's her dance teacher,
listen,
too.
We don't know. My daughter grew up dancing. I went to dance recitals all the time. Now, accountability, like the teachers of these dance routines spend hours teaching these kids dance routines, right?
Yeah.
It all culminates in one thing, a dance recital. So, like, what do you think? This is just individual? Like, part of a dance recital is that you're dancing in a group. And if you don't go to that dance recital, you mess up the choreography, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. So, accountability to Kobe, but accountability to the non-millionaire dance teacher.
Right, like, I this is confusing to me. She's a middle schooler.
Seriously.
She's a middle school girl.
Again, she's literally 12.
12 years old.
The circumstances are different. You're playing for a championship. It's a state championship. But I can see that part of it. You know, it's like going to a prom and missing a game. That would be a violation.
Yeah,
yes.
They actually moved to prom because we were going to states and track.
Well, there you go.
So
but not if you have one activity, you have to choose over the other. It puts a girl on a tough spot. She goes with the one she likes better. Let's go to Jim in New Hope. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike, great show. I have to completely agree with you on the Kobe point. It's ridiculous to expect that much out of a seventh grader, so I agree with you there. I also wanted to say, a few days ago, I think you said something about McCarthy and how he always avoids saying Gene when he's talking about Segura.
Yeah, he doesn't say Gene.
I went home that night and watched the game, and he said Gene. I was thinking,
I actually caught that. He did say Gene once. But he doesn't do it on a regular... I know exactly the game you're talking about, because I had the same thought.
And I thought it was so funny. I was like, he had to have heard my
phone. But he has definitely gone back to Segura.
Yeah, but anyway, I wanted to say I've been so impressed by Corey Dickerson since he's come over, and I wanted to get your take on the necessity of bringing him back next year. And it kind of goes along with what you're saying with getting rid of Hernandez, because then you move Kingery into the infield and you put Dickerson at left. You hope McCutchen comes back and can handle center field after his ACL.
Well, see, that's the big if, whether he can play center field every day. Now, they have in the past piled up hitters without regard to defense, and their outfield defense has always sucked. So I don't know whether they're willing to sacrifice that much on defense, or they would go out and get a center fielder. So we'll see what happens.
So how do you feel about Dickerson? Are you entertaining?
I like Corey Dickerson. I'm not sure he's a great hitter against left-handers, but he mashes balls into the strike zone. That's what I like about him. He has a mentality like Jason Worth a lot, but good balls he's mashing. And you don't see many people in that lineup do that. I like the fact that he mashes good pitches.
Yeah, and he's even hit over 300 against lefties since he's come over, so he's shown some improvement, and I know he struggled with high fastballs early in his career, and he's shown improvement.
Yeah, he's not a good outfielder, and he can't throw a lick. So you're going to sacrifice defense in left and probably center if you try that. So we'll see what they decide to do.
Yeah, so maybe it's worth considering, not giving him anything he wants to come back. But I also agree that Gabe's got to go. I think he's definitely a piece that needs to be. We just needed, like you said, a fresh take in that clubhouse. And then the last point I wanted to make was, I'm thinking the Eagles are a good bet with the line this week. What are they, -1 this week?
No, I think the opposite, actually.
Oh, they're +1.
You're their favorite, .5.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I think they're a really smart bet. I wanted to get your take on that.
No, I don't like it. So I've been asking for help today. I have a bad feeling about this game.
That's not what I wanted to hear,
Mike. No, I'm sorry, man. That's why I'm trying to gain some momentum. Try to reverse my thinking. Corey Dickerson, I'm shocked at how bad his arm is. He's a terrible arm. He's a big, strong dude. I don't understand it. Did he hurt that shoulder or arm or somewhere along the line? He doesn't even throw right. Like, he doesn't get full extension on his throw.
He must. It is weird, but that was the knock on him. Then he won a gold glove. But the knock on him was he would only be a DH because they thought he couldn't
play
the field
at all.
Well,
he might be able to go and get the ball, but he can't throw it. He struggles.
Jetpack struggles, too.
Yeah, that's Jetpack can't throw either.
So that's, I don't know if you, and he would be, that's why it keeps going back to my guy. He has to be on the team next year playing center field. He got an arm and he can go get it. Paisley. He goes and get. All he has to do is lift some weights in the offseason and get stronger.
Oh, my God.
He has to be.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know what the answer to this question is. You might know it. Can you ever remember me being wrong on a baseball evaluation?
I mean, all right, hold on.
I'm serious. You've been with me for a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Have I, in that time, been wrong on a baseball evaluation?
That's a tough one.
I'm dying for this answer.
That's a tough one.
And I'm dying that you're saying this right now.
If I have, who is it? Who has it been? Because I'm honest with you.
Here's the thing you've been the most wrong about.
What?
Neris is better than you thought he was. You were wrong about Neris.
No, I'm not. I said from the jump he's not a closer. He's an eighth inning guy. Yeah, he'd be good as an eighth inning guy.
I said he wasn't a closer. What did I say about him as a closer?
I didn't like the split as a closer.
And how's he been as a closer? He's been a top five closer in baseball this year.
He's only got 23 saves.
Yeah, but that's some of that situational.
He's a valuable member of a bullpen. He's more of an eighth inning guy than a ninth inning guy.
I don't think you thought he was even an eighth inning guy.
No, I did think he was an eighth inning guy.
I thought you said something like
the only thing
like
I ever said about him
guy.
Was he's not a closer because the split is not reliable enough for a closer. Closers have to have hard stuff.
You've been good with your baseball evaluation. You're in a good groove. But you're not going to be right on this one.
All right.
I like that. That's the player.
And jetpacks a little bit.
I didn't say Hazley was a bad player.
No, you didn't say
he's every bit of a fourth outfielder. Valuable part of a team. Valuable sub. Not a starting player.
Better than Nick Williams?
Different player than Nick Williams. Nick Williams actually has a little more pop than Hazley. Hazley doesn't have any pop, dude.
He's going to get some pop. Jetpacks didn't have pop last year either.
Jetpacks had some pop in the minor leagues. He hit 20-plus home runs in a couple levels.
Hazley didn't get a chance because they rushed him through the minors because he went right up. How long was he in the minors? 5 minutes.
All right, listen.
He didn't get a chance to develop power in the minors.
Don't listen to me.
Been there 5 minutes.
You could line up 100 scouts, they would tell you the same thing. Not a starter.
I think he is. He was the eighth pick in the draft. I believe he will be your everyday center fielder.
The problem of their whole organization. Because they took a kid eighth whose top level is a fourth outfielder. Think about that for a second. I'm picking eighth. I got to get me a player that's a bona fide starter.
And you say he's not. So here's his numbers, courtesy of Booney. Since July 20th, 21 games. He's 1-1, 7 out of 9 on saves, 0.42 ERA. 26 Ks in 21 innings pitched.
He's not a reliable enough closer.
I think he's a top five closer.
He's an eighth inning guy who would be great.
I think
not a closer.
I think he's a top five closer.
All right.
Not the best.
610-632-0975. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. So, I'm a little concerned about this game, but I want to look at the positives. I mean, obviously the secondary is going to be the major concern, but as far as the positives go, I mean, I think our running back situation is a real good situation we have. You know, we've got four guys we can plug in, depending on situations. Just like last week we saw, a heavy workload of Sproles. This week it may be maybe Sanders, it may be Clement, you never know who it's going to be. It may be Howard this week, so I kind of like that aspect going into the game.
I actually think Howard will have a big game. I think that they will go to Howard a lot more in this game.
Yeah, I do too. I think Howard's definitely going to have a big game. I mean, I liked his numbers last game, so I think he's definitely poised to break out on this one, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely going to throw the ball, but I think that they're going to get a little more balance with Howard instead of what they did week one.
And that's the other positivity thing I think I have is that I'm a little bit afraid of Atlanta's wide receivers and their offense, but I think, we're just as deadly, so we can match them, if not, double match them for, however many points they're going to get. Mm-hmm. I think we can come back right at them. So,
all right, so what are you saying? What kind of score are you thinking?
I'm looking probably at a high one here, so maybe like a 35-20 game.
35-20. They win easily.
I'm thinking they do, Mike. I really like. I think Carson has a good game. Maybe 35-25. I think they win by 10 or so.
Okay.
That's my guess.
All right. Well, I hope you're right, because right now I'm a little ambivalent about this result.
All right. We'll see what happens.
You got it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Coming up is Eric Carabell. So now will be a good time to hit me up on Twitter, MikeMiss975, or the email, MikeMiss@975thefanatic.com. All right. Eric Carabell up next with some fantasy football information. Back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. It is time to get some fantasy football knowledge from our ace in the hole, ESPN.com fantasy expert Eric Carabell, is brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers. Okay, go ahead, Nat.
Yes, it's brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers.
Sorry, Nat.
Don't miss the 2019 Verraggio Bridal Show September 13th through 15th. See the largest selection of Verraggio rings in the area and save hundreds 1 weekend only. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's Diamond Destination.
Would you rather have a working Ford or a diamond ring right now?
A diamond ring.
All right. Eric Caraba, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good. Let's get right at to the business here. Eagles and Falcons.
Yeah.
Do you? I'm going to ask it to you this way. Do you like Matt Ryan better than you like Carson Wentz in this game?
No. I think it's reasonable over the course of 16 games to pick Matt Ryan. But today, this week, the way Ryan looked last week, I love Wentz. He looked great in week one. I think the Eagles are going to have no problem putting up points in this game.
There are a lot of people who like Matt Ryan this week.
I think he'll put up points, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I worry about the Eagles' pass rush. I worry about their secondary, their linebackers. I worry about the entire defense. I think the Falcons will be able to keep pace with the Eagles, but I still think the Eagles get the win. But this should be a very high-scoring game, and there's ways the fantasy managers can kind of, like, pick through the rubble here and find some nice players.
Okay. Is Julio Jones a number one for you this week?
Every week.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter who he's playing. He's my number three receiver for this week, only because DeAndre Hopkins is almost always my number one guy, and I'm not worried about Jacksonville. And there's a couple players I am a little bit worried about in this game. Maybe not so obvious. Devonta Freeman of the Falcons looked terrible last week. Major groin injury last year. Looked slow against the Vikings. Now the Vikings do that to a lot of players, but to me, Freeman is somebody to worry about. You don't necessarily have to play him. On the Eagles side, obviously, all the running backs are kind of molded into one here. But the Falcons, over the last three seasons, dead last every year in allowing receptions and receiving yards to running backs. I expect Miles Sanders to have receiving yards this week. Zach Ertz underneath. Falcons do a good job deep on receivers. So Wentz is going to throw a lot underneath. He'll get his yards. Very good completion percentage. But I don't expect DeSean Jackson to have 50-yard receptions either.
All right. There seems to be a couple of mismatches on the card here, and it's Brady against Miami. I mean, is that like a mercy kill here?
Well, obviously, we need to watch this game to see what happens with Antonio Brown. He will play. I think he will play well, but I want to see how the targets are, divided up between everybody. I want to see if Sony Michel has a decent game. He was awful last week. The risk here in fantasy is assuming that every Patriot is going to put up big numbers in a game they should win easily. At some point, they may even take out some of these guys. But still, Brady, top five quarterback. Antonio Brown, top 10. Stick with Sony Michel and James White. Worry a little bit about Josh Gordon. And I can't find a Dolphin I would play in this game or maybe any game until they show something offensively. Kenyon Drake, Kalen Ballage, Devontae Parker, do not activate them at all.
All right. What are the mismatches that you see? Who's a good play this week that might not be obvious?
Well, if you want to look at quarterback here, there's some names that are a little bit odd. I mean, Lamar Jackson played great last week. That was against Miami, but I think he's going to do pretty well against Arizona, too. Remember, this is a guy who can run the football. I expect he's going to have a little bit more balance in his game this week. The Giants are also pretty bad. Josh Allen is good for a rushing touchdown just about every week now. I like him as a top 10 quarterback this week. I doubt most people are ranking him ahead of the likes of Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees. Go for it there. And then, obviously, that Rams-Saints game is interesting. Drew Brees, terrible numbers on the road the past couple of years. If you've got Drew Brees on your team, you do not have to play him this week against an elite defense on the road in a late game. Don't fall for it. Roethlisberger and Brees, every time they're on the road, I have to say, but most times, they struggle. We talked
very interesting, because one of our Twitter questions is Brees or Lamar Jackson. You're going Lamar Jackson here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying every week Brees is going to struggle, but in the road games, I mean, Roethlisberger's got more questionable numbers in road games, and that offense was a mess last week. But Brees, yes, I worry in road games outside of his Mike Dome.
All right, here's a tweet, and this involves Deshaun Jackson. Mandy says, Deshaun Jackson or Juju Smith-Schuster with the home game against Seattle?
Yeah, no, it's Juju. I mean, Juju's a top 10 wide receiver. I'm a little bit concerned that without Antonio Brown, that offense is not nearly the same. But again, it was New England. Give them a pass here. With Jackson, I just don't see elite number of receptions, and it's going to be tough to get behind that Atlanta defense. So Jackson, to me, is not a top 20 wide receiver. In this offense, way too many weapons.
Okay, Mixon or Sony Michel? That's from Livio.
Make sure Mixon plays first. If Mixon plays, yes, he's the guy. Sony Michel does not catch passes. So in comparing him to running backs who do catch passes like Mixon, it's hard to go with Michel, but I think everybody in this New England game will eat.
All right, interesting question. Been mentioned a couple times now. Who should you start at 10-team PPR, O.J. Howard or Mark Andrews?
Love them both. I mean, I still have Howard a little bit ahead. Don't worry about short weeks, the Thursday games this early in the season. It's as the season goes on, these players get beat up. That's when you see performance go down, but I expect Cam and everybody to do well in this Thursday night game.
Quarterback question from RJ. Aaron Rodgers home against the Vikings or Philip Rivers at the Lions?
Neither's in my top 15, I think. I have Rivers 16 and Rodgers 17. I mean, look who they're playing against. I mean, Rivers on the road, different quarterback. Rodgers against the Vikings. Look what they did to Matt Ryan. Flip a coin here. I have Rivers 16, one spot ahead.
All right. Derek Carr, a better option than Kirk Cousins this week from CLH.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Chiefs are going to score plenty and they're going to give up plenty. It's the kind of game that goes like 40 to 20. So, yes, I do think Derek Carr does fine.
Okay. Miles Sanders against Atlanta or Tariq Cohen against Denver for the flex?
Still too risky for me to go with Miles. I mean, there's just too many running backs back there, and they can just throw to Sproles. Sproles had the most rushing attempts. To me, Tariq Cohen a little bit safer at this point. But by the end of the year, it'll be Sanders.
All right, Ryan wants to know, Alshon Jeffrey or gamble on Hollywood Brown in a flex full-point PPR?
Now, Brown is like a little version here of Deshaun Jackson. He's not going to get a lot of catches, big plays only, and they're not playing Miami this week. Alshon, it's more reliable, and I think he can get into the end zone.
All right, David Brown from email says, should I start Antonio Brown and bench Godwin?
Yeah. I mean, I think Antonio Brown, I mean, he couldn't get a better matchup. He's certainly motivated. I mean, there's at least a threat of suspension at some point, so he's going to want to put up numbers. Antonio Brown's really, really gifted. I would play him over Godwin.
All right. Start Aaron Jones at Minnesota or Carlos Hyde versus Jacksonville?
No. I can't make any case on Carlos Hyde. He can look okay, a little bit spry there, but no, I am not. I'm not doing that. Aaron Jones, to me, is a good player, tough matchup, but they have to feed him a little bit more than they did in week one.
All right, a little complicated question from Steven. Engram or Mark Andrews at tight end or bench James Conner and play one of the two in a flex?
No, you have to play Conner. You have to assume Pittsburgh bounces back here. And I still have Engram over Andrews. I love Andrews. He gets down the field like Kittle does, but to me, Engram's still a better play. But you got to play Conner. You got to stick with him.
All right, Winston or Cousins?
Winston. I do think both quarterbacks do fine today. I mean, Winston probably threw an interception while I was talking, but he is a guy who puts up numbers, and he should be able to throw on Carolina's defense. I don't like Cousins this week.
All right. Running back, I have a question. Running back. Todd Gurley. What do you think of playing him, since that situation's a little diluted, and Josh Jacobs for real?
Jacobs is definitely for real. I mean, Gruden's going to feed him the ball as many times as he wants. He never threw to Jalen Richard. Josh Jacobs is legit. Could be a top 10 guy on volume alone. With Gurley, I don't understand. Why wouldn't you give him the ball near the goal line? They just don't want him to get hurt or beat up. But he did get plenty of yards in that fourth quarter. I think Gurley is a guy you still have to play. But if you can trade away Gurley for, like, Josh Jacobs and Alshon, do it right now before Gurley gets hurt, because his knee is already hurt.
Okay, flex option, Mohamed Sanu or Joe Mixon?
Now, if Mixon plays, he is a top 15 running back. We don't even rank Sanu as like a top 50 receiver. He's inconsistent, but reliable, not big numbers, even against the Eagles.
All right, that sounds good. Let's wrap it up on that note. I got to ask you for your Tyrone has a question. Duke Johnson, Shady McCoy, or Mark Ingram?
I mean, Ingram's a guy we rank in our top 20. I mean, assuming it's a PPR, I mean, Ingram catches passes, Duke Johnson catches passes. I'm not sure McCoy will, but he's not getting enough of the volume right now that these other guys are. Ingram's a really good play and another nice matchup for him.
All right. Are you liking the Eagles on Sunday night?
Yeah, and they're covering. They're covering.
The Eagles even win and cover.
Yes.
No problem.
They're going to win by 6-point win this week. I love it.
6-point win. All right. Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right. You got it. Have a good one.
We do have a call. We'll get it later. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it. We had a call. I forgot to give the number this week.
Yeah, that's why I was online too.
Oh,
sorry.
All right. Well, we're up against the break anyway.
That's fine.
610-632-0975. You got one line open if you want to slide in here. Natalie, our cowbell was brought to us by whom?
He was brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers. Don't miss the 2019 Verragio Bridal Show, September 13th through 15th. See the largest selection of Verragio rings in the area and save hundreds one week and only. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All righty, sounds good. We're back after this. Your phone calls next on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Tonight. Thursday show, Eagles and Falcons on a Sunday night. That's nice. I like a Sunday night game every now and then. I'm more partial to a 1 o'clock game, but a Sunday night game is nice every now and then. Especially when you got something. It's maddening when you have anything to do. Like you mess up, you have to waste a whole Sunday waiting for the game.
And the only positive for me is I got the green zone now. I could go to brunch.
Are you going to brunch?
I'll go to brunch Sunday.
You do a little Sunday brunch?
Yeah, but
with the wife?
Yeah, we do. But I can't when I got to get ready for the green zone. There's no time. But since it's
right,
a night game.
The green zone is right. You're on radio.
Right.
During the game.
So now I can go to brunch this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I like going to a brunch.
You're a brunch man?
I do. I like brunch.
Yeah, you like scooping from the buffet?
We don't do the buffet places.
Oh, you don't?
No. There's none biased.
Oh, that's right. Why would you? Because there's all kinds of meat in the buffet.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get that, but it's good. Places have stuff.
Oh, wait, what's your go-to breakfast? So I don't know. I can't imagine breakfast without a little meat protein. You know, I gotta have a sausage.
Nah,
scrapple.
I don't do scrapple.
I do.
I do breakfast sausage. Waffle pancake man?
They do eggs Benedict with the smoked salmon. Some places do it with crab.
Eggs Benedict. Mm. Excuse me. You go hearty tarty with the eggs Benedict, huh?
Oh yeah. That's what I do. I do
what's
that.
What's that brunch bill come out to? Are you going to Eggs Benedict?
A good Eggs Benedict is like 17, 18 bucks.
And you go on lox and, you know.
Yeah,
you
got to do all that. And then my wife gets a mimosa or two.
So you're out of there with an $85 bill for a brunch, possibly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Big shot.
Yeah.
Ralph in Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralph.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Ralph?
Mike, last thing I'm watching that Phillies game, man, I'm noticing like all the empty seats there, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? That owner can't be too happy with all those empty seats.
No, that was a really odd crowd last night. Coming off a win playing the Braves, people were going, people don't believe. That's what tells you. They don't believe.
Mike, you know what? And I blame them two guys. I blame Klintak and McPhail for the season that this team has had, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that Milton isn't, like, upset about this, you know?
Sure he's upset, but I don't think he's upset enough to fire two guys that he just gave an extension to, because that would make him look ridiculous. And he doesn't like to look ridiculous.
Mike, and the bottom line, he's a businessman. He spent $300 million for one player. And he's got an empty stadium when we should be down here, like, rocking, you know? They should be in the hunt, and they're not. And I'm looking at next year, Mike. Like, their farm system is a complete mess. We're going to have the same situation next year. I mean, you know, where are they going to get a pick?
Well, here's the thing. If you bring in a whole new front office staff, you got to take a step backwards before you make a step forward. So it's just as easy for him to say, all right, I'm going to give these guys at least one more year to see what happens.
Oh, man, you know what? I'm like, you know, they ruined my baseball season for me, them guys. They really have. I'm so disappointed, you know.
What in particular about this year bothered? Like, what misjudgments really bugged you?
really got me? The pitching staff, like the guys that they went into season with. You know, they knew that these guys weren't a proven quality players, you know, and they took a shot and they failed at it, you know, and I'm looking at how they're going to improve the situation. Like their farm system, you know, is a mess. Like they have nobody down there.
Listen, I hear you. The pitching staff to me is like, see, here's the thing that I can't get past. Now, those guys, when they got these players, like, because they weren't major deals to get these players. To get Eflin was Eflin was Jimmy Rollins, right?
Yeah, one was at Rollins, the end of his career. Was the Utley deal, right?
Well, who'd they get for Utley?
Who even tell me?
Eflin came from the Dodgers. Pivetta came from the Nets and the Papelbon thing. They just gave him. So what I'm like, are they thinking, okay, these teams that gave us these players, we're smarter than them. We see something more than these organizations did. But you got to understand that these pitchers were in those organizations for several years. And those organizations made a judgment. Yeah, they're fringe guys. We can afford to let them go. So either you're thinking you agree with those guys and you're going to try to coach them to a higher level because you see something in them, or you think you're smarter than the organizations that gave up the guys in the first place. And for that, you have to use your eyeballs and go, okay, I see Pivetta and he throws 95, so we'll take a chance on him. But then you watch him for 3 years and you go, well, he doesn't have any command. He doesn't have the cat burglar guts to get people out. So, yeah. But you can't con yourself into thinking that that's going to come. And that's what they made the mistake of doing.
I remember a spring training, he reassured you when you asked him that one of these guys, meaning Eflin, Pivetta, or Velasquez, would have a breakout year. And they told everybody that it was going to be Pivetta.
Right, but again, like, you're ignoring the track record. Like, you've given them a chance already. It'd be one thing if they're, like, first-year guys and you're trying to see what they have. You already saw what they had. Let's go to Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Mike, hang on, Mike. I'm sorry. I just got to say this. The girl is in the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability, my bleed. Mike, I got a baseball question for you.
So you're ripping Kobe?
Yes.
All right, okay.
Mike.
Yes.
I'm not too keen on baseball. I just got a question about Rhys Hoskins when he got thrown out on that last pitch. Hoskins.
Yeah.
Last week. When he got thrown out.
Yeah. He got thrown out where?
Yeah. On that last pitch, it was the last pitch.
He got called out?
He argued a call.
He got called out on strikes.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But the pitch was high, and the catcher brought it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the pitch is low, the catcher bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
The umpire knows that. I'm just asking, Mike, is this part of baseball?
Yeah. I mean, these guys are imperfect. The guy strikes on last night, I thought was terrible. He was the Phillies were getting the advantage when Melanson came in. He's throwing balls right in the left corner of the quadrant, and they're calling him ball. It's subjective sometimes with these umpires. But it's going to happen. You're going to get a call, or you're not going to get a call.
That's what I was going to say next. You're going to win some, and you're going to lose some.
Right.
So Hoskins know that he's not going to get that call sometime.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it doesn't. You get called out on a pitch you think is not a strike. I mean, that PJ as a hitter, it's not like he can just accept it.
Right.
I mean, what's he supposed to do?
Okay, Mike. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, it's like he knows. Sometimes he's going to get a call. Sometimes he's not going to get a call. But when he thinks that, like, these guys all think they know the strike zone very well, and for the most part they do. Bryce Harper really knows the strike zone. When he argues, he really is justified in arguing. Rhys does it a lot. See, Rhys is conditioned to take a lot of pitches, and a lot of the pitches are going to be called strikes. And I think that he makes himself his worst enemy because he always gives them the look. And they don't like that. He's been given the look for a long time. All right, 610-6320-975. Your lineup is out tonight, Tyrone. game four of the four-game series. Can they salvage a split?
No.
Behind Smiley. It's your boy, another one of your boys. He's pitched well lately, right? Last game he pitched well. He's convinced you he's okay because one start.
No.
All right. Leading off. Yes. Cecita. Real. Hitting two. Harp. Big fella.
El Mambo.
In the fifth spot. Jetpacks. Hayes. Oh, no. Copa F. Michael Franco back in the lineup in eighth, Tyrone.
They had to because Sean Rodriguez was so bad again that they don't have a, they don't want to play him. And they try, but Sean can't, he can't make contact.
Well, they could have played Bamboo Brad at third and pitching Tehran tonight.
Man, have you seen his defense lately?
What? He's a left-hander.
Yeah,
this is an upset that Franco's in the lineup tonight, not Bamboo Brad.
He must have good numbers against Tehran.
Right, we'll get the numbers against Tehran from Franco. 610-622-0975. Back after this.